Springfield's Talk 1041. My name is Nick Reed. Welcome to the show. We're going to do a Nick's favorite things again this year, something we've done the last couple of years, visit some area businesses. It'll be on Friday, December 3rd, kick things off with our breakfast at Scramblers, and then going to head around the area and hit a number of area local businesses. Some are businesses that we've visited in the past. Some are new, and present a gift idea. Well, it would be a gift for you or for someone else. I'm one of these guys that I like getting gifts or for people instead of gift cards. That's just me. I know some people prefer gift cards, some people prefer cash, but I think part of this is growing up. We were a gift-giving family, and we actually enjoyed the giving more than the receiving. I know that sounds like a cliche, but it just was always fun. I mean, as kids, we picked out presents that that we were getting for grandmother and granddad and Aunt Kathy and, you know, all of these different people. It wasn't where the parents just bought stuff and slapped our names on it. And so from a very early age, the gift-giving component to the holidays was something we always really enjoyed. And so, you know, sometimes people can be hard to buy for, and it's just so easy nowadays. Gift cards. You know, I mean, you can now do it on your phone even. And I've done that before. I've sent for a birthday Krispy Kreme gift card to somebody. They make it so easy to do that, and the holidays can be so hectic, and trying to find a good gift idea. So that it's one of the goals of this is to have in one place just some different ideas. And it doesn't mean that every one of these is, you know, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, and I know the person that that's for and that's for. But hopefully, at least of all the places throughout the day, there'll be something you're like, you know what, I had not thought of that. That would be a great gift. So that's the idea behind it. Foreman Mechanical Heating and Cooling, they are sponsoring it this year. We'll start off at Scramblers. The locations we'll be visiting just for him, ABC Bookstore, Elite Arms, Ming Auto Beauty Center, Wickman's, Corwin Ford and Dodge. They'll be providing transportation for that day. We'll be stopping for lunch at Aviary, and then we will top it all off with a happy hour at Whiskey Tango, and the gift that's highlighted at every one of those locations are going to be part of a big gift basket. And during the happy hour from 4 to 6, you can come and register for that, and then we'll draw it at 6 o'clock, and somebody will win the whole kit and caboodle. We've got the details at ksgf.com. So the day for that is going to be December 3rd. That is the first Friday of the month of December. It'll be a busy day, but it's always a fun day, and definitely looking forward to it. Jason Ryman now with the latest news update. The First Alert forecast sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service. Sunny today, high of 60, low of 33 overnight. Tonight, cloudy 62 tomorrow, and a 30% chance of showers before noon on Thanksgiving, and a high of 44. It is 37. Text message, Queen City Motors talk and text line. This is in response to Nick's favorite things. Where's my gift card, Nick? I want one from Elite Arms. Or Gun Tech and Nixa. $1,000 would be enough. Oh. Well, it would be nice, wouldn't it? is the streaming still done? Yeah, we've had... you think it's back up?
Yeah, I'll try it during the break. But I did talk to our support team over at Futuri. That's who does our app service. Mm-hmm. And they are... awesome. They have like 24/7 support. So anyways, they got right on top of it. And I think that they just send an email. So I'll check it during the break.
Okay.
But I think it's up. Don't quote me on that yet.
All right. I won't quote you on that.
But I think it's up.
All right. Very good. If not, it will be soon. It evidently was a problem on our end. And so our engineer had to come in and do something. Something. DeSantis of Florida, speaking to reporters at a gas station in Daytona Beach yesterday. And while there, he decried the inflationary policies out of Washington for driving up consumer prices in general, and in particular gas stations ahead of the holidays. He noted that the state of Florida could and would probably provide immediate relief for Floridians by suspending the gas tax. I want to talk about this here. We're going to get a traffic update and then continue on. If you miss any of the show, our on-demand section is sponsored by GunTech and Nixa. I'm Nick Reed. The White House is announcing that they're going to tap into 50 million barrels of oil held in the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Now, this is, I don't even know that you would, it's not a Band-Aid, actually. It's not even a Band-Aid. Now, let me explain what's happening here. It has, for a period of time now, been believed after Thanksgiving that we were going to, at least for a period of time, stop seeing the pump price increase and maybe even come down a little bit. And there's a number of reasons that this is thought to be the case. Not back where they were pre-Biden by any stretch, but may drop a few cents. Well, I could tell you what's going on here. The Biden administration is simply doing this so they can take credit for the fact that the price increases are stopping and even dropping a bit. That's exactly what's happening. So that as we look at midterm elections or as Biden is running for re-election or whatever the heck is going to happen with that, and the issue of gas prices come up, they can say that they stopped the increase in gas prices and even began to bring them down a bit because it started to happen after the announcement was made to release the strategic oil reserves. This is sort of a wag the dog scenario here. They saw that that was going to happen. How can we take credit for it? Well, we have to do something, and then we can claim that that's why it actually happened when it was going to be happening anyhow, according to those who analyze and predict these things. Meanwhile, in Florida, let me read this story. Red State. In this episode of Biden being Biden, DeSantis being DeSantis, the inept occupant of the Oval Office kills one major oil pipeline, talks about killing another while driving up inflation and gas prices with it. The governor of Florida suspends the state's gas tax, providing $1 billion in tax relief to drivers feeling the pain at the pump. Biden being Biden, DeSantis being DeSantis. So this is juxtapositioning the difference between Biden and DeSantis, or the liberal versus a conservative perspective, one in which is tax, 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 except for the tax cut for the richest of Americans, which is part of the Build Back Better. But for average Americans, it's costing more and more and more and more and more, to the point that you have friendly media outlets to the Biden administration instructing us on how to make it through Thanksgiving financially. DeSantis's answer on how to help the average citizen is to suspend the gas tax. He noted that the state could and would provide immediate relief for Floridians by suspending the gas tax, as reported by The Blaze, until prices come back down, which will happen precisely at half past Biden. Quote, the average family over a 5 or 6 month period could save up to $200. There's a whole bunch of things that go into the price of gas. There are different taxes, federal, state, local. They're taking over 25 cents from Florida, and we will basically zero that out as long as we can and do over $1 billion. That's going to make a huge, huge deal. This is noteworthy for another reason. You think of the difference between a Governor DeSantis versus a Missouri Governor tax hike Mike Parson. In Missouri, see, while we are seeing massive increases at the pump, our governor, along with the Republican-controlled legislature, decided to raise taxes at the pump not once, but every year for the next 5 years. While in Florida, DeSantis does the opposite and says, we're going to get rid of it, at least until the prices get back down to a more reasonable level. you really do look at somebody like Parson that not only claims to be a Republican, but claims to be a conservative one, up against somebody like DeSantis, and it is the differences are as vast as between a Republican and a Democrat, as we traditionally think of them. And I'm just talking about actual results, actual legislation, actual efforts. It's no wonder the Republican Party oftentimes finds itself in dire straits when you have Republican voters who claim, you know, some of the same Republican voters that'll repost DeSantis doing these amazing things, but then they'll vote for Tax Hike Mike. They'll get on there and defend him. He's a good guy. He's a conservative. Like, compared to who? You look at the differences in dealing with masks, mandates, and vaccines. DeSantis has been out there full force fighting the... I mean, he has just been out there doing everything he can, telling schools you cannot force these mask mandates, telling companies that he'll do whatever he can to stop them from forcing mask mandates. Meanwhile, Parson refuses to call a special session so state legislators can try to deal with the problem. In a state where we have special sessions, every legislative session, it seems like, for everything under the sun, he refuses to do it. When it comes to critical race theory, DeSantis, more than any other governor out there, has been on the forefront of being so proactive in fighting this thing. Has done everything he can to highlight it and to make sure people know what a bad deal it is for our kids. Governor Parson, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Said, well, it doesn't even really exist. There may be a few schools, but that's for the parents to have to deal with. Not too far off the same message from the Democrats. That it's just, you know, it doesn't actually exist. When it comes to taxes, Tax Hike Mike circumvents the Constitution. That's why he had to raise our taxes five times at the pump. Because our Constitution would not allow for him to jack up taxes as high as he wanted to. It was unconstitutional, so he spreads it over 5 years. Circumvents the Constitution in order to raise taxes. Meanwhile, DeSantis is going to lift $1 billion worth of taxes at the pump in order to help the citizens. How do you put these two people in the same political party, honestly? Oh, but Parson's a nice guy. To who? Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Don Carriker, this song just makes me think Don Carriker. I can see him out there on the dance floor. Got a couple of glow sticks on the end of yarn, swinging them around. IWantAGreatHomeLoan.com. If you do want a great home loan, not just a great home loan in terms of rates, but the experience itself, it could be very stressful. You are not just some sort of commission with Don Carriker. He's another guy who just loves what he does. And he loves, sort of like Trump in the sense that, you know, here's a goal. I want to do it. And I want to do it even better than expectations. Some people are just driven by that level of success, and your success is his success, and the same with his team. And it's why he's crafted this method of getting your home loan done in the easiest way possible, where most of the heavy lifting, whenever it's possible, is done by them, not by you, so it's a stress-free experience. And you hear that, or you see that in people's reviews of IWantAGreatHomeLoan.com, including my own. And it's why after using IWantAGreatHomeLoan.com for years now, I've been recommending the service. There's all sorts of other information there that can be valuable to you as well as you begin even thinking about the process of buying a new home. IWantAGreatHomeLoan.com, because you do. Jen Psaki attacks DeSantis over Disney ending this vaccine mandate. There's so much wrong about this story. Fox News reporting, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki indicated the decision of Disney World to halt its employee vaccine mandate showed how Florida Governor Ron DeSantis takes steps backwards when it comes to fighting the pandemic. So this is a guy that for a period of time now presides over a state that has the lowest COVID rates in the country. This is how detached and dishonest the White House is allowed to be from science and the results of the policies in Florida. Now, whether they're directly related to the policies of Florida, you may argue, well, you know, Florida having the lowest rates in existence right now and in the country and having this tremendous success, that doesn't have anything to do with his policies. Well, obviously, his policies aren't making things worse. Psaki said they're based in Florida, and obviously the governor there, he consistently has taken steps to take step backwards as it relates to fighting the pandemic, not forward. Look at the results! Psaki's comment comes after DeSantis signed four bills last week requiring private employees to allow vaccine exemptions, including but not limited to health or religious concerns, pregnancy or anticipated future pregnancy, and past recovery from COVID-19, saying nobody should lose their job due to heavy-handed COVID mandates, and we had a responsibility to protect the livelihoods of the people of Florida. Again, this is where you could do a nice side-by-side comparison between Parson versus DeSantis. Walt Disney World announcing Saturday it was pausing its COVID-19 vaccine mandates in response to the new law. So that's the sort of meaningful results and protection that citizens get when they have a governor like DeSantis. Now, aside from the disconnect that is existing here, when it comes to results and the fact that here you have the White House and, you know, DeSantis, here he is. He's doing things all wrong again, despite the fact that Florida has proven to have currently the lowest new COVID test rates. It also shows us that this has nothing to do with diminishing COVID cases for the left. Because here is the state that has the lowest rates in the country. And the Democrats are mad because a private company is not forcing its employees to either face termination or get a vaccine. We have gone from, and I know many of you know this, 2 weeks, just wear a mask and it'll be fine. And Democrats claiming they were against vaccine mandates. Democrats claiming this is all about just ending with positive results. That's all we're doing here. You just wear that mask just for a couple of weeks and let us close down a couple businesses. And once we flatten the curve, everything will be back to normal again. To they've gotten to the point of forcing vaccines and wanting vaccines forced upon people in the private industry, even in a state that has the lowest COVID rates in the country. The Democrats can no longer claim that these pushes for the mandatory vaccines and every other dictatorial position they've taken is all about keeping the rates of COVID down. Because here, okay, it happened. But they're not letting up. It is about control. And of the two parties, the Democrat Party is filled with control freaks. And the mere fact that you do not want to be their puppet and allow them to be your master is enough for them to decide you're going to do it whether you like it or not, even if it doesn't make sense. Their position is not about COVID. It's not about health. It's not about safety. It is about, I told you to, that's why. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. How about a first alert forecast look? Sunny, a high of 64 today, 33 for a low tonight, 62 tomorrow, and a 30% chance of showers before noon on Thanksgiving. Otherwise, mostly sunny and a high of 44. It is 37, 39, make that. Here's a story that falls into a category I enjoy discussing because it's not necessarily along political lines, but sometimes along ideological lines. It's one of these stories where you have two teams and one's just annihilating the other, and so they get kind of punished for it. Now, oftentimes people on the left, they think that's not fair, whereas people on the right, more so, that are conservative, say, no, that is. You know, I mean, if you're better, you're better, so be it. But sometimes you'll find some that are, you know, Republicans, and that are, well, you know, I mean, do we really need to win by that much? And then sometimes you'll find Democrats that are more blue-collar style Democrats that think, yeah, no, I mean, you should just keep working as hard as you can, even if that means annihilating the opposition. So there's a little bit of crossover there. Texas youth football team booted from league over dominance. Too good for a rec level team. Texas youth football team was booted from the league in the middle of the playoffs for being too good. So this isn't one of those deals where it was beforehand and they're like, hey, listen, you know, we're trying to keep some equity here to some degree. And you're, but they decided halfway through. They're like, this just isn't fair. The Flower Mound Rebels. Flower Mound. I love that name. These are 7 and 8 year olds. The Flower Mound Rebels. I don't know. I just think that's a cool name for 7 and 8 year old, you know, because it kind of plays off. I don't know. I just think it's funny. Joined the Keller Youth Association last year after the coronavirus pandemic made it difficult to field a team. This year, the Rebels have dominated their opponents and won all of their 7 games by a combined score of 199-6. Rhett Taylor, the vice president of the Keller Youth Association, was among the board members who decided to kick the Rebels out of the playoffs. Taylor, who was the coach of a team that lost 33-0 to Flower Mound during the season, plainly admitted that the team was way too good, saying, quote, this is the Keller League, not the Flower Mound League. In my mind, they've dominated our league. My team got one first down all games, and my team is good. Well, not as good as the Flower Mound Rebels. Taylor added, they're too good. I fully admit it, absolutely. They are a select-level team. They are too good for a rec-level team. Reagan Montero, the head coach of the Flower Mound, said only 7 of the 17 players on his team have ever even played football before, and he called Taylor a sore loser, saying, I don't think we can be too good. We want to play, or he wants to play with us, but he doesn't want us to be good. I'm not really sure what that teaches the kids. Hey, try your hardest, but sorry, you won't get the end results you want. Taylor says it comes down to fairness. Keller Youth Associated President Calvin Washington released a lengthy statement Saturday on the issue. I love that we're talking about 7 and 8 year old kids here. Quote, Keller Youth Association prides itself in being an all-inclusive program that allows the youth from Keller and surrounding cities to participate in sports. Well, unless they're too good. While we offer select and elite teams for baseball and softball, we have also maintained that our football leagues are recreational level only. We made the decision in fall of 2020 to allow a handful of other cities to bring teams to KYA football to help curb the low registration numbers due to COVID-19. Guidelines were laid out to keep the playing field competitive for these teams, and because KYA conducts grass drills and follows a draft program, we ask the outside teams follow the same rules. As the following seasons progressed and our numbers increased, KYA instructed Flower Mound to bring 2 teams per division so they could conduct a true draft process for each. However, they were adamant in only bringing 1 team for the 7-8U division, and that has garnered the recent negative attention by the media. So I think that there is an argument after a season is over to go, all right, maybe we need to recalibrate the way that we do things. I don't think any one particular team should necessarily be singled out, but to allow a team in and then halfway through the season and to say it's because they're too good. Here's the thing that I've always found interesting about this. For some reason, this application that we apply as a society, or at least a segment of the population, that, you know, you if you have a team that's too good, they need to temper it back. And we see this, you know, you get a basketball team, it's youth sports generally. And if they score too many points, then they just stop the game because it's unfair. We never apply that same standard to sports in which it's individuals against other individuals. Have you noticed that? We never, back in the Mike Tyson era, said, this is just, he's just too good. I mean, look at this. Nobody can beat him. He wins in 13 seconds with a TKO. He should not be allowed to box people any longer. Or, he was the best in boxing at that period of time, so it wasn't like you could say, well, he has to be booted to a new division. I mean, he was in the best division. Anytime somebody that is a track star breaks a record, in other words, they've demonstrated they're better than absolutely else in the world, we don't say, well, they're just too good. You know, they just shouldn't, they should not be able to. I mean, look at that. They're faster than anyone else in the entire world is. No, in fact, they get celebrated for breaking the all-time record. Now, there is an exception to this that I find interesting, and that is Simone Biles. And you may remember there was a little bit of controversy in which she was not allowed to do, I think it was one certain, what do you call it? It's not a move. What do they call it in gymnastics? Do you know? It's not a move, but whatever they call it. Well, there's a certain thing that she was not allowed to do because she was just too good and others couldn't do it without risking or injuring themselves. Well, of course, there's always the risk of injury to gymnastics. And most people seem to be opposed to that idea, saying, but that's what makes her good. I mean, yeah, that's part of what makes her. Isn't that the point? To have different athletes try and compete and be better than the others. And then for some weird reason to go, well, she's just a little too good. That's not fair to the others. That defeats the entire purpose. I've just found this argument interesting. Now, I can remember as a youth playing soccer, and I know that I was, I'd say it was third grade, playing in Lebanon, and we had a match against a team in Fort Leonard Wood, and we just got destroyed, absolutely destroyed. And the only goal that was scored from our team, we accidentally scored against ourselves, which added to their like 17. I think the final score was 17-0. I still remember that to this day. I mean, it's just an annihilation. I wasn't devastated by it. You know what we thought is like, dang, they're really, really good. We like just were shocked by how good, like they're just running circles around us. I also believe that any self-respecting person who is getting annihilated would really truly not want the other side to pull back. Now, you're talking about 7 and 8 year olds, so, but when you get a little bit older, I mean, if you're in high school or a collegiate level, I just think that would be humiliating. It's one thing to get beat, but whenever you have people step in and say, oh, mercy, you have to stop, they are that bad, that to me is almost worse. The arbitrary nature of this, you know, well, at what point and who decides when you have a team that's that much better than the others? Is it if they score this many points? Is it this many points? Is it this many points? Do they have to have this many wins versus this many losses? There's an arbitrary nature to it as well. I've just been one of those. I'm like, if a team's that good, a team's that good, and they should try their hardest no matter what. We didn't tell Usain Bolt, you need to slow down because you're just too good for everyone else. Nobody told Mike Tyson, you need to hold back on your punches a little bit because you just annihilate your competition so quickly it's humiliating to them. For whatever reason, when it comes to teams, though, we tend to treat them differently. I don't know the reason why. There's got to be some psychological component. But it's one of the reasons I find that whole discussion or debate interesting, because of the contradiction in how we treat individuals, people in individual sports versus team sports, and this idea of being too good. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. And Sarah Myers.
Hey, here I am. Well, now that I am back home from Jamaica, I need to give my friends over at Beatles Property Maintenance a call. In case you guys missed it, while I was on The Great Escape, I announced that I'm pregnant.
Having a baby.
Yes, there's a baby. And
growing in your belly.
And so the husband and I, when we bought our house, we knew there were some things that we needed to fix, and that included a vapor barrier. And I really would love to have one of those added to my house so I can make sure that mold doesn't get in there. And I want it to be nice and clean for when the baby arrives. And that's where Beatles Property Maintenance comes into play.
Since that's where you're going to keep the baby.
No, stop.
Well, it is a crawl space. Mm-hmm. Babies crawl. You know, it just seems to fit.
You know, there's going to be one person that's going to be like, I can't believe you guys.
Yeah. Well, right. You know what?
We're not going to keep the baby in the crawl space. I promise.
All right, so you say. You've never had one before.
Well, I have a spare room. So. That's where the plan is.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyways, Beatles Property Maintenance. They do high-quality property maintenance and repair services, including mold remediation, crawl space repairs, real estate services, water restoration, and, of course, vapor barriers. So if you need a property repair, Beatles Property Maintenance is the place to go. You can give them a call today, 417-840-3330. And, of course, if you head over to KSGF.com under the Sarah's Endorsements tab, you can find that phone number and their address, their website, plus just a very tiny list of some of the maintenance that they do.
Tom Arts texted in, Flower Mound is the name of a town north of Arlington. Well, the name's not as funny to me now. The Flower Mound Rebels. I don't know. I didn't realize it was a town name. That makes sense. I was thinking just kids and, you know, you're playing on a mound of dirt and there's a flower and like the Flower Mound Rebels. That seemed really funny to me. But now that I know it's a town name, it's not as clever. Still a good story. Rittenhouse sat down with Tucker Carlson, and Tucker Carlson had, I thought it was a really good question that he posed to Rittenhouse, and it was essentially, what do you think about the Vice President of the United States calling you a white supremacist? Think about that for a moment. This is how divisive things have become. I love, you know, Trump used to get reamed because he would fire back at people who fired at him. Now, people in the media, people in government. But what he didn't do is just go after average citizens and demonize them. You think about it, this is a president of the United States, accuses a 17-year-old American citizen, uses the full force and power of his bully pulpit to tell the entire world that this individual is a white supremacist. This Joe Biden, the guy that was going to bring us together. Trump was the divisive guy. Now, of course, the media is fine with it because they're all on board. So here's that discussion between Tucker Carlson and Kyle Rittenhouse.
What did you make of the President of the United States calling you a white supremacist?
Mr. President, if I could say one thing to you, I would urge you to go back and watch the trial and understand the facts before you make a statement.
That's not a small thing to be called that.
No, it's actual malice defaming my character for him to say something like that.
Why do you think, and it's not simply Biden who said that, it's a lot of people on television have said that, dozens of people have said that, sorry to tell you in case you haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's actually quite hysterical how nobody can go back and look at the facts of the case. He crossed state lines, false. He's a white supremacist, false. None of that is true. And the lies that they can just get away with spreading is just sickening, and it's a disgrace to this country.
By the way, one of the things he also said during the interview is that he's supportive of the Black Lives Matters movement. Black Lives Matter, they're just beside themselves over that. Now, you may recall that there were two words that the media began using virtually every time President Trump made some sort of claim, and that was without evidence. Remember that? Even Fox News was doing it. President Donald Trump claimed, yada, 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 without evidence. I've not heard one story, including Fox News, that references Joe Biden calling Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist that use the words without evidence. Not once. Isn't that amazing how quickly they dropped that? The media that felt that that was just part of reporting to make sure that you understood that the claim being made, it didn't have anything to do with Trump at all. It was just the fact that there was no evidence provided in the statement that was made. And so that's just objective journalism. We'd do that for anyone. I don't think I've heard that terminology used once in a story regarding Joe Biden and just the numerous whoppers that he's told, including that Kyle Rittenhouse is a white supremacist. You realize one of the individuals that he shot was throwing around the N-word. So this is the world that has been crafted by the left and has been allowed to be crafted because of the immoral dishonesty in our national media. You have a guy who goes to try to protect property in Kenosha, did not carry a firearm across state lines. That's a lie that they continue to tell. There is not one single thing that he has ever done, said, or posted that they can find that even could be twisted to claim that he's a white supremacist, but they say it anyway. They just continue to say it, including the President of the United States. Meanwhile, people like the president and Black Lives Matter hold up the people he shot as if they are these wonderful citizens, these great martyrs, and how terrible it was they lost their lives when one of them was using the N-word openly, yelling it at people. So Biden, the Democrats, Black Lives Matter are all supporting an individual who openly used the N-word, who is also a convicted child rapist for added bonus, while characterizing a person as a white supremacist in which there is not one single bit of evidence that he has ever said or done or posted anything that would suggest that he is a white supremacist. These people are depraved. And it is clear why it is that people on the left can't stand somebody like Tucker Carlson, because all he does is expose the truth. And in doing so, exposes the level of depravity within our national media in this country. It is an absolute disgusting embarrassment. And unfortunately, it trickles down to a lot of local media as well. The news leader really seems to wear that badge with pride. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Okie dokie, everyone. If you missed any of the show, our on-demand section sponsored by Gun Tech Nick, so you can check it out there. Otherwise, I will chat. You and I meet right here tomorrow, 6 a.m. Have a good rest of your day. I'm Nick Reed. Glenn Beck's next.